Hey, this is Alec.
And this is Samir.
This is Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. Let's get it. Going on, listeners, Beyond the Beats, our EDM champions out there. It's great to be coming in your earwaves, going straight into your ear canals for yet another week of Beyond the Beats. As I said before, this is a podcast of EDM news and culture, so if anyone's new, welcome. I hope you enjoy. But we're going to be kicking it straight off, getting the energy up. We're going back 90s old school house music with an absolute classic banger. This is my on repeat for this week. It's Freddie LeGrand featuring Ida LaCour, The Celebration.
Coming in hot with this classic old school house vibe, the track name, Let Me Think About It. This track made me stop and I had to think about it, dude. I want to make a bold statement right here. All right, EDM champions, you guys ready for this one?
Okay.
This sort of old school house vibe, it's coming back.
I don't think you know this, Samir, actually. This was, I think this is the first song that turned me on to electronic music when I heard
it. No shit!
Yes, I remember my dad had actually played it, or it was on the radio or something when he used to live in London. And we would be going around in the car and stuff. And, you know, he would just have, BPM on. That radio station. Mm-hmm. And so this song came on and I was like, oh shit, this is awesome. But I didn't remember this until I came across this song again on my Spotify as a recommended for this 90s house playlist I'm making. And
dude,
I was like,
that is
what
awesome.
Was that? And I completely forgot that this is this first true electronic music song I'd ever really listened to, because I was young, but I completely forgot about it.
Oh, I love that, dude. And you can just definitely feel the good energy, the good vibes off of this track. What a fantastic way to start off your EDM career. You know what's interesting?
It was.
You started off with this song as influencing you into getting into electronic music, and then you became a straight-up headbanger while we were in college, and now you're slowly, you're shifting right back to
where
you started, baby.
It's going back to the roots.
Speaking of that playlist, I hope you're going to post it up on our Beyond the Beats Spotify profile for our listeners for our EDM champions.
Yes, it's going to be a deep dive on that. I've got a couple more playlists and stuff, so as season goes on, I shall talk about that.
Dude, I'm so pumped up. We are ready to go. We are the first week back after our nice, you know, season break. Guys, new episodes coming out every Thursday. That's right, it's Thursday now. Don't forget it. Okay, this week we're talking about fantastic new music from the artists that we're watching. Some of our friends like Javex, New, and much, much more. Then, of course, new music from folks like Zedd's, Dead, Kygo, Tiesto, Cascade, Jaws, much more. Then, of course, diving into the news and culture, we got Tomorrowland to talk about. We have Ultra, again, to talk about. And then, dude, fantastic article that you found here, streaming. We're going to be talking about streaming and the impact that it's had and how it's grown over the past decade that we just exited. Then, of course, the anti-plur moment, the what are we listening to with two fantastic selections. And then, of course, the crown jewel of the Beyond the Beats podcast, what we all know and love, the artists that we're watching. Alec, kick us off. What are we listening to first?
Wow, first of all, that was an awesome, awesome summary. So thank you for that, Samir.
Thank you.
I was
dude.
Very, very impressed with that.
Feeling
excited. True radio.
I'm
love it.
Go, baby.
No, I mean, you're getting your radio. I love it. But we are going to talk about our good friend, our Kiwi, our New Zealander, Javex, with a new song, Turn. Man, this is a song that made me want to turn it up a notch.
Turn
turn it up a little bit.
Javex is starting off 2020, coming in hot, laying down the fire. You know, we were talking to our friend Javex. Absolutely love this guy. Thank you so much for letting us preview this song before it comes out on your SoundCloud, on our show here. We're very excited to have it. Dude, Javex said this is the hardest song that he's ever thrown down. And guess what? This is the hardest song that Javex has ever thrown down. That is absolutely correct. It brings the heat. 1,000%. It brings the fire. But it's got Javix's sound in it. It's like he's not departing from what Javix is known for, right? He's just going harder and he's coming at you. Galik, what do you think?
No, I couldn't agree more, man. Very good summary of that, too. He is just, he's getting harder and harder with some of his tracks, right? But I think what it is just balancing out some of the vibes. When he's getting into a set, he really wants to be able to control people's, you know, how they're feeling, the energy in the room. And so having some tracks like this on selection, especially if they're originals of his own, are really going to help him control the vibe and the energy within the room. So love this from Javex, and thanks again for letting us preview it on this show. Moving onwards, I tell you what. This is something I was really, really pumped up about over the weekend. I was listening to it. I was messaging him. We were chatting about it. What a fantastic remix. He's been real pumped up to do this. But of course, we're talking about Scribe. He did a remix of Virtual Riot's Remedies. Your voice is a melody, like music to my ears. Take my tragedy and turn it in a piece. Absolutely love this, man. First of all, I love Virtual Riot, right? I love Virtual Riot. I love the original of this track. I love the vocals in this song. Scribe, I don't know how he does it. This is the kind of shit that makes you want to headbang and cry at the rail at the same time, okay? This is exactly what emotional dubstep is all about. And Scribe, he's bringing it to the Australians, man. He's bringing it to the people down under. And I'm a really big fan of this remix. I think he really did a nice job injecting his style and his influence into this track. Alec, what'd you think? Very well said, man. I mean, he's, you know, this is going back to more of his melodic dubstep roots. You know, Scribe was talking about it. If you haven't listened to that artist's spotlight, I highly, highly recommend it. He's a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Very creative. But I remember when we were chatting to him about this, both, you know, on the air as well as offline, that melodic sounds is really his thing. He loves the
Absolutely.
Melodic bass, loves the melodic dubstep scene. And I think it's really amazing how he's able to take songs that have a lot of emotion, a lot of energy, that might be just a little bit too much packed in there, and he really knows how to illuminate it with those amazing melodic drops. So Scribe, shout out to you, man. This was an awesome, awesome track.
Nice, man. Very well said. And then, you know what, man, let's bring it, we were in Australia, you know,
we're in
the UK where Javex is, but now we're bringing it right back here to your coast, West Coast, baby. We're bringing it to Las Vegas. You Knew and Type 3, good friends. Alec had the pleasure of hanging out with them in Las Vegas.
What's going on, dudes?
Did you know this track was coming out, man? Did you know this was dropping?
Yeah, a little sneaky.
How dare you not tell me, okay?
I wanted to get a little bit of your, you know, reaction on air there. Yeah, I got a bit of a cheeky, you know, insight that this was. I was very cheeky with that. Very, very cheeky. But yeah, I thought figured to save it for the pleasure of the podcast. But tell you what, man, this is just, this is the first time I've actually met two artists who aren't related that have such a close friendship. I'm sure there are others out there, right? But I've never, you know, you don't really know that when you see some of these people collabing up, when you see the track list, right? You don't know how, you know, close they are, but these guys are very tight. And I'll tell you what, man, I mean, they both bring just some awesome, awesome quality to the table when making a track. And I think you can really hear that. I just absolutely love their sound, man.
I love it, dude. This song is called Nobody. All right, EDM champions, you guys get ready for this. They're going to throw some house music right into your face. Get ready to boogie. Here it is.
Absolutely smash this, man. They smash this record. This is a fantastic track. I love it.
I'm a huge fan. Can't wait to see what these guys get up to next.
Oh, they've got big things.
Take us to our last song right here for this section, baby. Who do we have here? Somebody that we haven't talked about in a while on the podcast, but he is an artist that we're watching. So excited that he also premiered this track with Mind Island on Fucks With It, a good friend of ours, Colin Vlasic, who we've had on the show before. He runs that music blog, fantastic. Champions of the Underground. We're EDM champions, they're champions of the underground, and we love them, all right?
Love it.
Jordan Moody.
Oh, I was supposed to say it.
Oh, shoot, I'm sorry, man, go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding, go ahead, take it away.
Sorry, Jordan. I got excited. Jordan Moody teaming up with Mind Island. The song is called Moody Minds. And dude, let me tell you, all right? This is the kind of song when it drops, you got to call your mother. You got to call your mother and be like, "Mom, can you pick me up? I'm scared." That's how this song is, okay? Fantastic track, bass in your face. Guys, take a listen to it. This is Jordan Moody and Mind Island for the song Moody Minds. Take a listen.
Losing my mind.
Sorry, but I have to just say, first of all, you have the funniest just little analogies when you talk. It's like, I'm like, do you just think about these? Where did these come from? They're just,
you know, a lot of them are original, but that one that I just said there, I've heard that so many times. I think it's from a movie. I can't remember. I think it might be Max Keeble's Big Move, if I recall correctly.
Wow.
But it's, I'm throwing it back. Now I'm throwing it back. But yeah, I love that saying.
But aside from that, man, I'd say you... I make fun of that little analogy there, but I think it's spot on when it comes to Jordan Moody's and Mind Island's collab. It was one of those songs where I took a step back. I was, you know, I was sitting up in my couch, my new sofa, which is lovely, by the way.
Nice.
Sitting there. Yeah, it's nice. Awesome. You know, we're finally furnishing it. It's nice.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting there, had it on my, you know, on my laptop. And as soon as that drop came in, it just, you know, I had to take a step back. Like, whoa, it took me back a bit in all the good ways possible. So thank you for putting this up.
Of course.
A incredible release from these two. Definitely want to have Mind Island. You know, that's definitely something I think we need to keep an eye on. Somebody there.
Totally, dude. All right, my man. Where are we going next?
We are into the new music section. And I tell you, it's just nuts how much new music just seemed to spew out of these artists. I couldn't believe it just came in a massive wave. And, you know, there are obviously so many people. So we tried to do our best, but we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 different things to talk about here. Let's kick it off, man. You were really pumped up when this came out and dropped.
Oh,
you actually texted it to me. It was amazing. I love the energy on it. Zed's Dead, We Are Deadbeats Volume 4. Where do we even begin on
Holy
this one, man?
Holy shit.
Yeah,
I don't even know where to begin, dude. Okay. 14 tracks, 14 collaborations that Zed's Dead did with the likes of Logue 21. We got Death Pact, who Alec gave a speechless to for the Shambhala set.
That's
Ganja
right.
Ganja White Knight. That's right. Jaws, Champagne Drip, Delta, Heavy Drolo, Slushy, and so much more, dude. Okay, you know what? Let me just start by saying one thing I absolutely love about this compilation of tracks that Zed's Dead did with all these artists. I love that even though Zed's Dead was on every single one of these tracks, you could truly feel the influence that each one of these individual artists did when they teamed up with Zed's Dead.
Very
like,
well
it didn't
said.
Feel like every track was just like, oh, that's like, this is all Zed's Dead. This is all Zed's Dead. No, dude. How about that track, Just Wanna, that he did with Logue 21 and Paulina?
Couldn't believe that. I know.
Oh, my God. That was so good.
The house coming in, man. It's just, that was really cool. I bet they were really pumped up on that.
Yeah.
They have their radio show. We probably should have taken a listen to it beforehand. But, you know, I'd really love to hear what their insight into making that track with them was. Because when I saw them on the track list, I was like, where did this come from?
And I think this one has really hit home with a lot of people, man. Just with how house music is becoming so big
totally.
In the U.S. I've had a few people text me
exactly
that track
right.
In specific. But then I also love that track, Ether, that he did with Death Pack. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Omar Lynx, the song Leave You in the Ground, fantastic. Of course, Ganja, White Knight, Dead of Night. Absolutely loved that track.
That was special. That was something special there.
That was awesome. And then Shake with Jaws, and then Stars Tonight with Drolo, which we've talked about before, and then, you know, Drifting with Slushy. Just fantastic tracks, Alec. What did you think of this?
Well, notice how, I mean, what I love about this album is it is all collaborating with others. And I think that's a really neat message out there to the community. It's just saying that, you know, you don't have to make an album with just yourself on it, that this type of music can be very collaborative and it can work well. Right. And these are all, you know, clearly friends and people they have good relationships with. So I think that's just a really, it's a novel concept, because I can't really think of too many other people that have, you know, at this point in Zed's Dead's career really decided to go out and do this. I think they're really developing the label, developing the relationships with some of these up and coming artists. And I think it's really cool that they, you know, are doing this partially, you know, for themselves, but also partially to help raise up some other artists in the scene. So love not just the music, but the thought process behind it.
Well said, dude. That was wonderful. Well said.
Why, thank you. I could say wonderful things sometimes and
so
occasionally.
Eclectic, you're so eclectic.
I'm so eclectic. And talking about eclectic, this man's just become a little bit jack of all trades here. It is the eclectic Jaws with his new album, Dangerous Waters. What do you think?
Oh, man, I love this. Jaws, you could do no wrong in my eyes, my friend. You could do no wrong. Absolutely love Jaws, Alec. I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it again. You're the guy who got me into Jaws, and here we are. 5-track album here from Jaws. We got Bring
or EP.
Back with
I guess it would be an EP. I
think
misspoke.
It's more of an EP.
Yeah, it's more of an EP. I misspoke. Thank you for saving my face, though, man. I really appreciate
it.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to help you out, baby. Dangerous Waters, you know, by Jaws. He did 4 tracks of these were collaborations, one of which is an original. Dude, every single one of these songs had its own unique style to it. And that just
exactly
goes
right.
to show you how versatile Jaws is as an artist and how much he's really come since, like, you know, I want to say 2014 days, you know, with like Rock the Party and Feel the
Classics.
Volume. Like he's come classic, yeah, but he's come a long way and he's really exploring new sounds, which I love.
Well, we've talked about it a couple of times, but Jules really, in my opinion, is probably at the top of the branding game in electronic music today out of all the DJs. And I say this, I don't mean it just from like how cool the brand is, but he has been able to create a brand under one alias that is able to experiment and evolve but still keep his core fan base happy while also adding new people in. I don't know an artist that has done that, to be perfectly honest.
Totally,
I really
dude.
Can't think to mind. And I remember reading an article where I think it was after Feel the Volume came out, and he was talking about the importance of thinking about your brand as an artist. And you've really got to think about this like a business, like a real business move. So you can see him doing that just with his brand. I just wanted to highlight that quickly. I mean, very well done. Secondly, I also, you know, we were talking about Zed's Dead just before, right? And the collaborative process. Well, Jaws, I should have realized this, is another one of those guys who seems to be doing a lot more of that now, a lot more collaborations there. You know, he's got his new label, Bite This, which is awesome. Highly, highly recommend checking them out too. But, you know, again, the mindset behind this is just very collaborative. I love it. But getting into the specifics here, bring him back with Tynan. That,
huge.
Yes, absolutely. Sorry, huge. No, no, I love it. It's absolutely huge. And it's huge because I know Tynan was talking about doing some more house music type of thing. So it's interesting to see someone go from such a harder style of trap music to doing this. What do you think?
Oh, dude, this is like one of the highlights off of this EP for me, man. I loved this song, Bring Him Back, that he did with Tynan.
That's great, man. I mean, it's just, I loved seeing Tynan get involved in this, man. And getting more involved in the house, it just shows house is the wave right now. So I'm glad
totally
that you like that.
Do.
Then we've got, so there are a few other ones here. We'll see which ones you liked kind of the second most. We've got Dangerous, There For You, and The Beat. Actually, was Bring Him Back your favorite? I don't know. I didn't want to just assume
I think Bring Him Back is right up there as one of my favorites off this one, but I also loved Get To Me. And The Beat with Nonsense is great as well. All these tracks are fantastic, but those are the top three for me. Alec, what'd you think? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually. I mean, we're pretty much on the same page. I mean, they're all great in themselves, but I'd say Get To Me and then Bring Him Back. Those would probably be my top ones off of this EP.
Nice.
So thanks, Jules, for dropping that. Moving onwards quickly, we've got Kygo and Sandro Cavazza teaming up to do a tribute to Avicii's RIP Tim, Forever Yours. What do you think about this, man? What do you think?
This is the way to do a tribute.
Ah, very
opinion.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful. It's tastefully done. I thought Kygo just, you know, there's something about Kygo's sound that really just fits well with just kind of emulate this sort of emotion.
Yeah,
and I think he
totally.
Also allowed enough time to pass to release this as well.
I agree.
So I think like this right here, this is how you do it, music industry people. This is how you do it. That's my opinion. Alec, what'd you think?
Nothing much more I can add on to that, man. That is very sound analysis of it, and I couldn't agree with you more. Honestly, it's that's exactly the way to go, and I'm glad that Kygo waited this long and also did such a great job with it. Kygo and Avicii's vibes really do match well, so this was a match made in heaven, RIP to Tim. Okay, moving forwards, we've got Tiesto, Seven Skies, Rebmo. Haven't heard of Seven Skies or Rebmo, but they teamed up My Frequency. Pardon me. What do you think about this?
No. I'm tossing it over to you. What did you think of this?
Oh, back at me. I actually liked it. I really, really did. And I tell you, this is Tiesto. Whether you like the old Tiesto or the new Tiesto or both, one thing that you absolutely have to admit is that he knows where the next wave is. He knows how to change his sound and adapt to what the new times are. And just seeing Tiesto over the last year, I don't know if you've noticed this too, Samir, but he has been gradually moving a little bit more into this house area, but by the way of Brazilian bass house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way
you've
that he's going with this. I know, I'm calling it. But did you like this, man? What do you think about it?
I did. I love this track.
Good.
I thought
excellent.
This is the kind of shit that gets your feet shuffling and your booty shaking, dude. I'm a big fan of this track right here. Good old house music, but it's just got a more energetic and more aggressive vibe to it that I think Tiesto knows what he's doing.
Yeah, a little bit of electro influence in there too, for sure. Right, lastly, man, this was a big, big collab here. Cascade and Bro Hug. Talk about another guy adapting to the times. Cascade, because Bro Hug is definitely leading the charge with their own take on house music. What do you think about this track, 1990?
Oh, dude. I've been ready to talk about this with you on the pod. All right.
All right, let's do it.
When this track was released and I saw it come up as like a new song in one of the playlists that I follow, and I took a listen to it, I was like, I've heard this before. Go on to 1001 tracklist. Cascade dropped this during his EZU set, baby, and as soon as I re-listened to this song, you know how like in movies sometimes you listen to, like a character listens to something and just like it like just brings them back to that moment.
Yeah, like a
flashback.
Sorry.
That's what this song did for me. This is a freaking bop, dude. I absolutely love this song. Cascade, Bro Hug, teaming up. They did Fun. They did that song Fun, right?
Was that Cascade
Yes, that was. You're right. I want to have some fun. That's right.
Yes, fantastic. And dude, I'm having some more fun with this song, 1990. What I love is that they use that vocal sample that's like, I got the power.
That's
I
right.
love that.
Yeah, I love that.
It's just a great track. It's just a lot of fun to listen to, and especially live. Alec, what'd you think?
I wish I heard that live, man. I'm very jealous of you.
It's
but
a bop, dude. It's so
yeah,
cool.
But it is. It's one of those songs where you can just imagine it just overwhelming your senses when you're seeing it live. But this is exactly even what it did on some brand new headphones I got. Definitely
worth listening to.
Well, I mean, actually, they're not that new, but they're those Lipotech ones I was telling you about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but I'm not mentioning them until I get a paid sponsorship. kidding. They're actually pretty cool. But yeah, so this is just one of those tracks that I was just really, you know, you're bobbing your head to, you know, even if you're in the public and you're listening to something, you don't care. You're just having a good time going away, bobbing to yourself to some awesome house music. So thank you, Cascade and Brohug, for teaming up on this. Whew. Man, that was a lot of music.
Ah, dude,
that was great music.
That was a lot of fun. Man.
I think we got through it in good enough time. But going forward, we are now here in the news and culture section where we will dissect and discuss some of the things going on in the EDM scene across the globe. Let's stop off in Belgium for Tomorrowland 2020. It's the festival that everyone wants to go to. And I tell you what, man, let's start off actually with your personal experience because a little birdie told me that you are able to attend.
Yes. What up, EDM champions? I will be at Tomorrowland 2020. I'll be there on weekend one. So if you guys are going, definitely hit me up. Would love to link up with you guys. Would love to party. I'll be camping in the Majestic Greens area. So definitely hit me up. First of all, I'm just so incredibly excited to go to Tomorrowland. This will be my first time going. It's just every year we kind of go through this same thing with Tomorrowland. It's everybody is always talking about how difficult it is to get tickets. And that is absolutely true. This is definitely a very hard festival to get tickets to. I've tried to do it for the past couple of years. Only one time was I really able to ever get into the ticket shop. I tried this past weekend again to get into the ticket shop and I couldn't. But what I did was I bought a Global Journey package. So that is like where they kind of put together a little travel package for you where they'll either give you like a hotel with the ticket or they'll give you flights from like your country with the ticket and the camping, or they'll give you like a bus package or a train package with the ticket and camping. So I opted for one of those packages and I was able to get a ticket. That's the easiest way to get it. They don't sell out immediately. You have pretty much like a week or two to decide if you want to do a Global Journey package. It is a little bit more expensive, but again, you're paying that premium to pretty much guarantee yourself a spot to go to Tomorrowland 2020. With all that being said, I gotta say, dude, I have to say, this lineup is amazing. I am so incredibly happy that the year that I'm going is just, the lineup is just an absolute, it's absolute mayhem, dude. There's just so much going on in this lineup, and I'm excited to kind of dissect it with you for a little bit here, Alex. So, yeah. I guess maybe I'll start here, Alec. I mean, let me
go
just
ahead.
Start with some of the people that I'm excited to see at Tomorrowland 2020 this year on weekend one.
That's right.
This goes without saying, but Eric Prydz is bringing back the Holosphere show. He debuted it at Tomorrowland last year. Our weekend one friends got to see it, but our weekend two friends unfortunately could not see it because that stage, the Freedom stage, collapsed due to the heat. So they actually had to quickly set up a new stage outside of that stage where Eric Prydz was able to play, you know, his set, but they couldn't reset up the Holosphere stage setup. It's just too much. But he's bringing it back both weekends. We got Eric Prydz doing that. Dude, let's also just talk about the fact that this Monster Cat lineup on the Friday is absolute nuttiness.
Yeah.
Eptic, Jaws, Back-to-Back Nightmare, Kill the Noise, dude. Freaking Pixel Terror, Slushy, Whipped Cream, Hush. I mean, I can go on and on about that, right? Let's also talk about the Nervo Nation lineup here. This one is a little bit of a mishmash of people here that are on this lineup, but you know what? They're hosting a stage. They're hosting the Lotus stage. You got Alok. All right, here we go, baby. Brazilian bass. We got Becky Hill, who I'm actually very excited to see. I've always enjoyed her voice. You know, she did that song Gecko. She did that song Gecko.
That's right.
Overdrive.
And she's done
absolutely.
So many others with MK.
She's done so many tracks.
MK as well.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's right. I love her voice. Excision is playing on Nervo's stage, which is very, very exciting. I think this is Excision's first time playing at Tomorrowland.
I'm really interested to see how that goes. Yeah. I'm really
interested. Let's look at it this way, right? Excision is playing on the same stage that WNW, Will Sparks, and Sandra Silva are playing, right? I mean, it's craziness. It's absolute craziness.
Yeah,
and then I love this Sexy by Nature lineup as well. That's going to be on the Garden of Madness day one, Friday stage on weekend one. EDX is playing, Martin Solveig, Senator James, and Ryan Marciano. I mean, it's craziness. But, you know, those are just some of the people that I'm excited for day one. You got Brooks as well. And I'm going to quickly go through some of the other people here.
Go ahead.
Charlotte DeWitt. Can't wait to see Charlotte DeWitt, dude. That's going to be craziness. Art Bat. We got Taylor Voss. We got Stefan Bodizin. Very excited for that. Axwell is hosting his own stage on day two.
Big.
You know, freaking Axwell, DOD, Benny Benassi. They're all going to be on that stage. Chami. My friend Alexis is very excited to see Chami again. Hey, what up, Alexis? And then, dude, of course, Armin Van Buuren is hosting a State of Trance on the Sunday. So you got Armin, Gareth Emery, New Year. It's craziness, man. And for those of you who don't know, New Year is WNW's, like, trance alias, but they do trance right, dude. Like, big room trance, it's energetic, it's fun. And then, of course, the Don himself, Adam Bayer, is bringing Drum Code, baby. Drum code to the Atmosphere stage where he'll be playing. His wife, Ida Engberg, will be playing. Cirrus D, Bart Skills, back-to-back Monica Cruz. It's absolute madness, dude. And I didn't even mention any of the main stage names. But, you know, again, and we've said this before on the podcast, I feel like, and I'm going to say this right now. One thing that really kind of irks me about Tomorrowland is how much they shove Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike down our throats.
I was just about to crack a joke. God, that's so funny. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. You say, "Oh, Samir, I bet you're excited to see Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike," and I was probably going to say, "No, fuck you, Alec." Dude, they take DV and LM and they take Like Mike's microphone too, and they just shove it down your throat, dude. They just freaking pulverize it, because I know that Tomorrowland and Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike, they go way back, but it's just, what, they get two sets every single weekend? It's just obnoxious, man. It's so annoying.
Well, first of all, love your thoughts on that, man. You covered some great ground with some people. There's a few things I want to pick out here. So on the second day, right, this is an interesting one. Did you see this GTA Latin set?
Yeah, I did.
It's awesome. Oh man, I'd love to see if Boombox Cartel could do that as well. That would be right, wouldn't that be? If they just played some, yeah. You know what? At Boombox Cartel, we'll put this up on our socials. You need to be doing a Latin set.
Where are you guys?
Definitely, it could be GTA back to back Boombox Cartel for little Latin dance. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Are you going to try to see that if you can? I mean, obviously it's hard.
I do. I will try to see that. And that's the thing. Like, it's so hard right now to say, like, oh, I'm going to see this person. I'm going to see that person, because set times haven't come out. But, you know, I think Tomorrowland had about 600 names or 600 acts, I should say. Sorry, 600 acts between the two weekends. It's crazy.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's absolutely nuts.
It's truly representative of all genres around the world. I mean, you have hard dance. Q Dance is actually hosting part of the main stage on the Saturday of weekend two. Hard style. I mean, it's crazy, man. You won't find stuff like that here in the U.S. Techno is well represented. House, trance, of course, big room, all of it. I feel like every genre is very well represented at Tomorrowland. And just even being in a Tomorrowland WhatsApp group chat that I'm in, it is crazy how many area codes I'm seeing on these phone numbers. I mean, truly a worldwide event. People from all corners of the world come to Tomorrowland, and I'm very excited to try to get that perspective in a festival now.
Well, it's a very worldly festival, right? I think that's the key, man. I mean, I absolutely wish I could be coming with you, man. I mean, this is just something I know we talked about.
Wish you were out there with us, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I'm sure we'll probably head back over at some point,
of course,
too.
Dude.
But, you know, it's just one of those festivals where you can, you know, truly come home. But, you know, I tell you, It's just great, one, that you're going into, that you're really gonna be able to appreciate the worldly type of feel to it, right? I mean, this is it's insane, actually, if you just think about it. I mean, they even have a documentary on Netflix, right? It just shows the reach and the scale of this thing, and I've heard only great things about it, man. I've never really heard anything negative about it either, and you know, and even the locals are really into it too, which is refreshing. I mean, from what we'll talk about later on, but you know, the locals are much more into it and supportive. But going back to the lineup just quickly, there's some other things I want to point out there. I mean, just want to say Rez is going to be there for the people like her. Dylan Francis, you know, they're both playing on the same stage, on Netsky and Friends stage on Saturday, so definitely try that out. Samir, if you can, I would love to get your takes. I've actually never been able to see them myself, but Rudimental, if you can go see their DJ set, okay, that would be interesting.
Little DMB, huh?
No, it's, yes, they are. They are DMB, but they kind of add a little bit more, I don't want to say pop, but they have more recently, but I'd be interested to see what their DJ set is like, right? Because okay, that will be a little bit more drum and bass focused and a little bit more EDM focused on that. You know, I've been a big fan of a couple of their singles. So they're really big in the UK. They're a UK
nice
group. But Illenium, is this Illenium's first?
Yes. Dude, that's the problem. Like I said, there's so many names on this goddamn lineup.
I know.
Yes, this is Illenium's first time playing Tomorrowland as well. It's crazy.
That is absolutely nuts. You know, just thinking about that. So many names. I mean, you've got people like Pam Pot, of course. Definitely, I'd love to see him. Amelia Lenz, you know, shout out to her. Yep. Zonderling are on there too. I'd be very interested to see them. That's on Friday on the Sexy by Nature stage, the same one that EDX is playing on, and Martin Solvig. Jax Jones doesn't look like he's in here.
Jax Jones is actually on Weekend 2.
Weekend 2. Yeah. But, you know, the reason why I point this out, and maybe I don't know, there's so many names, but do you see on the, if they're doing Europa, him and Martin Solvig?
No, they did Europa last year. Jax Jones is doing his own set this year,
Gosh, yeah. So I'll be interested to see maybe if he pops on for a little bit at the end of Martin Solvig's set. You know, so I'd stay around. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? But definitely go see Jax Jones. He's just such a good time. Hopefully he's not clashing with someone like Eric Pritz. So
you already know where I'll be, baby. You already know. Just some thoughts here on Tomorrowland, man. Like I would just want to echo what you said. I've only heard good things about this festival. I've heard, and my brother has attended this festival too, but I've heard that literally every single detail has been perfectly planned out. It's like truly transporting you into another world. The only thing that I've heard that is kind of detrimental to this festival, and maybe it's just because we're so used to it in the US, but water, there's no like water refill stations. So you kind of have to refill your water at bathrooms. Like there are faucets there, but they're not like properly advertised, if that makes sense. So most people actually end up buying water bottles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. I wouldn't have thought that.
So I'll give my thoughts when I get back from Tomorrowland. Obviously, this is like six
months
from
now.
Well,
I know a lot of European festivals don't have quite the same camelback culture.
Yeah. Creamfields was the same way.
Yeah. It's not quite there yet. But, you know, I guess it's interesting. It's not quite as big of a problem, I feel like, then.
EDM Champions, the link will be in the show notes. Peep this lineup, all right? Like I said, 600 names. When the poster came out, like you had to get out a magnifying glass and you had to like search for all these different acts. It's craziness. It's truly, truly craziness how many people are on this lineup. I got to say, I think the split between acts on Weekend 2 and Weekend 1, very nicely done. Like for instance, Weekend 1, we get Axwell. Weekend 2 gets Alesso. You know what I mean? Like there's some nice differences between the two where honestly it'd be hard to pick which weekend you want to go on.
That is a tough one. I mean, it's just one of those things you got to pull the trigger on one weekend, but it's nice that they have just such a great reach to the artist community that they can pull all these names, right? So no matter what, every weekend you go and you're doing, you know, you're able to see some high quality artists. And they also do a good job, I feel like, of, you know, picking some people that maybe more of the mainstream listeners wouldn't be really too accustomed to. They won't know them, some names there. So if you're going to Tomorrowland, you know, and if this is kind of your first electronic music festival or you're just getting into the scene, definitely go and give some of those smaller stages a try. You know, just go and experiment, because that's part of the process too. It's very easy, I find, sometimes to go to festivals and see kind of just the same people over and over and over. And that's fine for a few people, in my opinion, but it's always good to branch out.
What a fantastic concluding thought right there, man. Brother, we gotta maybe wrap up some of this saga here with Ultra.
It's not on us. The burden is on them. They need to just wrap this up for good. I'm tired of covering it. I'm tired.
Well, let's start with where Ultra stands right now with the city of Miami. So a representative from the Ultra Music Festival, they have confirmed that a contract has been signed with the city of Miami. So you know what? Round of applause for Ultra. Very, very happy for them. But let's not forget that the citizens of Miami are still suing the city. So you can check one thing off. You
know, a shit show.
It just doesn't stop. It just does not stop. And I said this in our last episode, but I have a good feeling that Ultra will not be coming back to Bayfront Park anymore after this year.
No, I agree wholeheartedly with you on that. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm calling it.
But amidst all these shenanigans that are happening, Ultra has dropped a massive phase 2 on their lineup. And I've got to say, dude, they really are trying to like show everybody like, hey, I know we had some tough times last year, but you know what? Ultra is known for pulling some fire people into the lineup, and they are not disappointing this year. Alec, did you peep this lineup? Phase 2.
I did. And just out of interest, what's your kind of like, I know we'll probably dive a little bit more into this as the time comes, but phase 2, who's your dark horse on here?
Like an act that's going to surprise people?
Yeah, if you can. Oh. It's early. I know, we definitely got to do a little more digging, but I think it's going to be...
There are so many names on this. The thing is that Ultra does a nice job of really pulling in a lot of names that people can recognize, so I can't really say for certain if I have a dark horse. Why? Do you have one? I feel like you have one right there.
I do and I don't. A name in there is Metric. I was surprised to see that. Metric would be interesting. I think that's one name I wasn't entirely sure to see in there, because he, you know, dips between genres every now and then.
Sure.
Also, I think more people are going to start being turned on to... I think Dom Dollar is going to have
a
banging set. Because there's not too much house music.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
House music or
friend.
Like tech house type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Along the genre of Dom Dollar, Camel Fat, you got Camel Fat there, yeah. You know, Gorgon City. So you got some of the bigger names, but I just feel like Dom Dollar is someone that not too many people... I know he's not as popular on the East Coast, really.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's big on the West Coast already, but he hasn't quite made it out to the East Coast. So I think it's going to be interesting to see the crowd he's able to pull.
Interesting. That's interesting. And, you know, maybe just upon, like, a deeper dive into this lineup, if I had to pick one dark horse... an act that I feel like people don't really know too much about, but they need to start paying attention to, TV Noise. I think TV Noise is
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
And I know you're not a huge fan of TV Noise, because I think
But good pick, you know. I like him, I do.
But I can understand why, you know, if you were to say like, oh, they get a little bit repetitive sounding, I can understand that. I do get that. But I really like TV Noise. Like, I like the percussion that they use in their drops. It's like house music, but it's very percussion-based too, where you got like some nice, you know, sub drums in there too. It's pretty sweet. It gets the booty shaking. Let's talk about some of these names on here that just got recently announced. Madeon Live.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I'm very pumped up for the people of Ultra who are going to be able to experience Madeon's live show. It is beautiful. You got Madeon, Laserface by Gareth Emery. That's going to be absolute insanity.
Nuts.
Sophie Tucker, I was shocked about. I didn't know she had a live show.
I think I've heard that she has. It'll be interesting. Very interesting. Definitely try to check that out.
And then Flume was already announced prior, but of course you got to keep an eye out for Flume, Giselle Stein, Griffin. I'm not a huge fan of Griffin. I'm not just a big fan of his music, but I know a lot of people are, so I think that's going to be great. One thing I'm very, very stoked for the people of Ultra to experience, Kashmir.
Yes,
doing his
I was about
Dharma
to say
show.
That.
Dude.
That's exactly right. That's huge. That's going to be
Kashmir.
Massive.
Yeah.
Massive.
I love Kashmir. And then, of course, you know, you got Jamie Jones, back-to-back Carl Cox, and now announced, it's more of a back-three-back. So Jamie Jones, Carl Cox, and the Martinez brothers, they were not previously announced. Now they are. That's going to be awesome, of course. And yeah, dude, it's craziness. Richie Houghton, Taylor Bus, Oliver Heldens.
Hold on, but what about, we got to talk about this, Mala back-to-back DJ Snake.
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry for completely glancing that. Yes, Mala back-to-back DJ Snake. They did it at Hard Summer 2019, and now they're bringing it to Ultra. DJ Snake. Lay off the mic, my friend, and everything will be A-OK.
Have you listened to that set?
I did. I know he did not really pick up the mic at all. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, DJ Snake likes to do a freaking audiobook on stage sometimes.
I don't think he's that bad. I don't think he's as bad. There's some people
who are much
worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Martin Garrix, I got to say, is one of those people, too. Okay, I was listening to one of his sets from the end of 2019, and I know people love Martin Garrix, but every single drop, he's like... Jump, 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 let's jump. Every single drop. He says it. It's like 3, 2, 1, jump. Like, it's just every single time. Martin Garrix, I love you. You're a cutie. You put out great music, but you gotta lay off the mic, my friend.
Oh, dude, that's funny.
A lot of thoughts. Go ahead, Alec.
Well, I mean, and you've got Major Lazer there, who are the kings
the worst.
Of mic
the worst.
Hogging. But I tell you what, man, I can't believe that I overlooked this. And I'm really annoyed that I overlooked this, because you want to just talk about the epitome of the fact that Brazilian bass is coming. You've got Chemical fucking Surf on there. I don't even know if you're familiar with them, man.
But I don't think
massive.
So, no, but
oh, man, I love Chemical Surf. I mean, they just fucking crush it. Seriously, go. If you're going to Ultra, go see Chemical Surf for just a really good time. You know, some of the sets and stuff. So just bear in mind, it's kind of like Brazilian bass is almost, they take kind of a deep house way of mixing it sometimes, so that it can be, you know, they really play quite the full lengths of some of their tracks.
Yeah,
you'll see why. There's
that.
Lots of build-ups, yeah. And, you know, the build-ups are huge. I mean, the build-ups when they happen are just ginormous. it just goes on for eternity,
yeah.
And it just drops into this nasty house beat. It's just awesome. Great to go see. So just bear that in mind if you're watching them, because I've never actually seen them, one of their sets, and I think I've only ever heard, like, radio mixes. So just wanted to put that out there. Yeah, but I can't believe I overlooked that. It's right above Dom Dollar and the thing, but Chemical Surf, definitely pumped up about Dom Dollar, as I said. Gorgon City, yes, please go see Gorgon City's there. Another one, Sub Focus. It's kind of the progressive D&B. It's coming over to the States,
yeah.
But I thought that was interesting that Sub Focus is there, kind of like, you know, standing out there somewhat alone in that crowd there, which is interesting.
Yep.
There's so many great names. I will have to say
Laidback,
this.
Laidback Luke.
Yes.
You got Matador.
Anna.
You got Chami.
Anna,
of course. Alec loves Anna.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. Boys Noise. We didn't say Boys Noise is playing.
Oh, dude, I know. Boys Noise. You got Vinny Vicky, who I think has been confirmed for a main stage set. So bringing Psytrance to the main stage, that's going to be massive.
Definitely, man. And shout out to our headbangers, because, you know, we haven't forgot about you there, but you've got Wave Dash back-to-back Shadient. Yeah, that is
you got
one of those.
Snails back-to-back Kill the Noise. Oof. I'm a huge Kill the Noise fan, by the way. After seeing him at Izu.
Definitely.
He was excellent. Threw it the F down. Got Moxie with a Moxie switch up. You got Peekaboo out there. I'm putting you in command of the spaceship. Yeah, you're going to be in your own spaceship there,
that
dude.
That was great. That was awesome.
Thank you, dude. Brooks back-to-back Julian Jordan. This is a great lineup. This is a fantastic lineup. And Ultra,
got to say that too. Whip cream. Shout out to her.
Ultra, like I said before, is really trying to pull out all the stops here and let people know that they are not going anywhere and they are not fucking leaving. Okay, even though I'm pretty sure that they will be leaving, but that's just my hypothesis. So, anyone else you want to mention on this Ultra lineup?
Well, 1788L is going to be
huge.
Will be absolutely huge. A lot of names on there,
dude. Wonderful stuff, man. And then to cap off our news and culture section, you put a very, very interesting article with some statistics onto our show notes, Alec. What are we talking about here?
Well, we're just talking about how streaming is just taking over the music industry. I mean, it really is just absolutely massive. I mean, just get this right. Okay, so according to the RIAA, that's the Record Industry Association of America, they have said that while the streaming percentage of the market in 2010 was only at 7%, right? 7% ownership of the market. It's now up to 80%. Of the US music market as of 2019. That is just, it's unbelievable. I mean,
it is.
And then you look at the growth for streaming music subscriptions. I mean, the article here on Mixmag mentions Apple Music, but I'd really say Spotify is probably the one to credit for the large growth here, more so than Apple Music. And so Apple Music definitely recently, but in the scale of 2010 to 2019, is definitely, you have to give the props up to Spotify there. But with them combined, you're looking at in 2010, 1.5 million paid subscriptions, right? Now you're up to 61.1 million in 2019. And this is just the US. Absolutely just the US. And Spotify, just also have to say, they've been doing a great job on the business front. You know, really very much investing into what we'd call programmatic advertising on their platform. So that's another revenue model for them. So they, you know, because it's always interesting, where does the paid subscription service work? There's been some questions about that in the industry as a whole. But if you're looking, if you like to play around with some stocks, I think Spotify is someone that you really need to get in now if you're going to, because that stock's going to go through the roof. You've got new advertising suite on the way, which is going to be really well done from everything that I've heard. And on top of that, you've got more and more people buying into. So really nice, you know, dual revenue system there. But Samir, I mean, what do you think about that growth? I mean, does that tell us anything, you know, that's worth really noting here? I mean, this is just a big shift in general.
One thing that I'm excited to see is where are we going to be 10 years from now? What is going to be the next big thing? And who are the players going to be in that space? Alec, I'm 100% in agreement with you. Spotify has their pulse on where the market is going. Is the market tapped out now, like right now? Like, have people, like, if people wanted to subscribe to a music streaming service, I feel like they would have done it by now, right? So what are we going to see happen to that 80% number? Is it going to go up maybe incrementally? Is the growth of subscription to a music streaming service going to slow down? Like, what is going to happen in the next 10 years? Like, that's what I'm excited to see. Because, I mean, just the shift that we've seen in 10 years in the music industry, it's been crazy. And I cannot believe, like, if I think back to 2010, right? I was still buying songs on iTunes. I was listening to Pandora.
That's right.
And now here I am with Spotify Premium, and I have millions and millions and millions of tracks at my disposal. And it's just wonderful to see. One thing that I think Spotify is going to do, and we've seen some reports of it in the news, is I think that they're really going to start to shift their model. And I know this doesn't have to do with music, but to podcasts and improving their podcast system and the way that they deliver podcasts.
Yes,
so excited
definitely.
To see where that goes. They've been doing some investments on that. But like, what is the next big thing for Spotify and Apple Music? What's going to happen next? That's the question that's on everybody's mind.
Well, I think it's an interesting one because, you know, the problem that you're seeing and really just that, you know, what they call the streaming wars, which, you know, if people haven't really woken up to, I mean, it's very much alive and it's across different mediums. It's not just audio, it's also video, right?
Totally.
And, you know, Netflix and those people in there too, Apple as well. We're going to see a very interesting bit of competition going on between the tech giants, which are trying to get in on the streaming in general, right? I mean, just look at all the moves that Apple has made. I mean, they are making moves across the board with Apple TV Plus. Now you've got, you know, Apple Music trying to take on Spotify there for the throne. Then you've got to also remember Amazon too, right? You've got Amazon Music. They haven't really, it hasn't taken off quite as much yet. So I'd be interested to see if they're, you know, whether they want to get into it. But, you know, they're very focused on Amazon Prime right now. So I'd be interested to see what their plans are. I mean, they have to have plans in the pipeline for, you know, some audio streaming as well. Google hasn't taken too much of a step into this play yet, I don't believe, unless I'm mistaken on that one. So,
I think they have some sort of streaming service. But I think the problem is that, like, if you are not, like, Alec and I are iPhone users. So if you're not on the Android ecosystem, I think it's pretty easy to like sometimes dismiss or not think about
right.
Android having its own or Google having its own.
Yeah, it's
music
Google Play.
Service,
it's
but
Google
do.
Play Music, basically, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
But it's really not that. It's just not as popular for that. Now, I mean, this is interesting for the advertisers, though. Google Play Music is a very enticing offer because just a little bit of insight here. You, as an advertiser, you can go through and place, I mentioned it before, programmatic advertising. It's essentially advertising that you can do at scale without having to manually place ads in certain places. So you can just set a budget and, you know, let whatever software that you're using run and it will buy all these ads for you automatically and at scale. So Google Play Music and then also for podcasts too is going to be, it's good for advertisers because it makes it very easy for them to do it. Spotify also has built that functionality out too. So it's interesting because you have these people who are going to be big for some of the brands, right? And the more money that kind of pulls into it, the more money they, you know, the more they can invest internally within things. But Apple Music is kind of that, it's kind of just out there as their own little thing. So I'm just going to be interested to see if anyone is going to try, is Apple going to continue trying shifting into the streaming market, right? Or are they going to have it kind of be just the more modern form of iTunes, something that they're repackaging to their own consumers rather than trying to take over another consumer base? Because I think it's going to be difficult to get people to move from Spotify Premium to Apple Music, right? So I do wonder how they're really looking at that too. The other thing is, I mean, I know Spotify is, you know, is really big, right, it's getting there, but I'd be interested just to see, you know, if they're able to survive kind of the tech companies coming in, because I could see people trying to scoop up SoundCloud, right, as an acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
All these different little acquisitions of maybe the smaller players, it's going to be quite dangerous for Spotify. So I think that's why they're trying to kick up their revenue right now.
I love this insight that you have, Alec, because, you know, I definitely don't have it. And, you know, you're in this industry. So this is just fantastic information, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a full on war, man. That is just absolutely brewing. It really is. It's a war that's going on behind the scenes.
It is interesting.
You know, if anyone's
stuff.
Interested in kind of just paying attention to this, if you want to look at the big players, definitely use Crunchbase. That's a great resource there for sort of tech news and things. And if you just want to see what I'm talking about, you'll see a lot of the big tech companies will start picking up smaller companies that have very specific, you know, products and things. You know, in the round, like, you know, 50 million acquisitions, $100 million acquisitions. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on that just to see if you see any acquisitions of, you know, anything related to audio streaming or audio in general, because podcasts are the wave right now. It's the future, right? And I think all of the big tech players, you know, including Spotify in there as well, are going to want to get more and more into podcasts and digital audio. So I agree with you there, Samir. I think, you know, podcasts, especially in the next 10 years, it's going to be interesting to see if the trend continues onwards and upwards.
Wonderful, wonderful concluding thoughts right there, my friend. Dude, definitely. You know, we had some good discussion, but now it's time to get a little... We're going to reverse it. Reverse. All right, here we go. Anti-plur moment. All right. Whew. Okay, I was gonna plug in something else for this week, but then after going through the Tomorrowland sale and just kind of going through EDM Twitter and going through Reddit and, you know, just stuff like that, I was like, no, this needs to be brought to the forefront right now. My anti-plur moment this week, all right? People who don't do their research for festivals, okay? And this is really specific to Tomorrowland as well, I feel like, but I know there are other cases out there. But year after year after year, there are news reports that Tomorrowland tickets sold out in 30 minutes, 25, 20. And now most recently, the Belgium tickets, the 200,000 pool of tickets that was available to the citizens of Belgium, those sold out in about 17. The worldwide presale that I was on this past weekend, that sold out in about 15, right? This happens every year. And the demand for these tickets, it goes up and up and up. And the amount of tickets, it stays the same because there's only so much space that these folks have to their disposal to use, right? But year after year after year, there are people complaining online that they didn't know how hard it would be to get tickets. They don't know what to do now because they booked their flights already. And now they don't know what they're going to do. And they'll have to buy resale tickets for like double the price. But like, here's the thing. If you're planning a trip to go to a festival, you have to do your research. You have to. Even just Googling Tomorrowland tickets will pull up plenty of blogs and news articles saying that tickets sold out near immediately as soon as they went on sale, and it's extremely difficult to get tickets. It's talked about on Reddit, on r/Tomorrowland all the time. There are plenty of cases where people talk about their experience saying that they waited in line for the presale online and they couldn't even get into the ticket shop at all. It sold out right even before they were even able to enter the shop. But like every year we go through this shit and every year people complain about it because they are not prepared. And it's just annoying because they flood, you know, internet forums and they flood Twitter with just nonsense when we could be having better discussions. It's just like, I'm pissed I couldn't get tickets. Now I don't know what to do. That question has been answered time and time again. Every year, like I said, we go through the same thing. Why didn't you do your research, buddy? That's on you. And that's my anti-plur moment. You got no one to blame but yourself.
Man.
Boom.
I feel the heat in that. I know we talked about it a bit offline too. You know, why do you think some people have issues planning for these things?
I don't know. And Alec, you know how I am, dude. Like, I'm usually the one who kind of takes the charge on planning, like, music festival trips.
Yes, you are.
And you know how I am, dude. I'm usually pretty on top of it, and I'm pretty detail oriented when it comes to these things, and try to keep people up to date as to what the situation is. But I guess maybe I'm just in the minority, because when you're spending all this money, you want to make sure that the experience goes off without a hitch for everybody, and that everybody is all set and everybody is able to help each other out. I guess I want to do a lot of research on these things, but I just don't understand why other folks, when they're about to drop hundreds of euros or hundreds of dollars or maybe even thousands of dollars, why don't they do the steps necessary to get themselves prepared? That's what I don't understand.
You know, I'm not entirely sure why. I think it's hard for me because I'm also a bit of a planner, right? I enjoy planning things ahead of time. I think we're both similar that way. So I'm trying to put myself in someone else's shoes here.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally different mindset. It aggravates me too, because being a planner, you enjoy making sure that everyone has the best time they possibly can. Right. And just having the people who kind of just lay off and they're not, you know, a little bit more flaky with it, you know, unless it's for just very understandable reasons, if they're just being flaky for the sake of being flaky, right? Then that's when it just starts annoying, because that's when it starts limiting the amount that you can do, and it can start ruining certain plans. And I don't think people when they think about music festivals, right? And I think this might partially be able to do with technology nowadays and also how festivals are marketed. But, you know, on the marketing thing for a festival, we don't see, oh, this thing is a bitch to plan. Make sure that you take at least 3-4 months in advance. You got to buy the tickets, yeah. The hotels. Then you got to look at busing routes, traffic patterns, or whatever, all the detail you could potentially go into. That's not on the marketing thing, right? So in technology, us being so just used to having everything be so very accessible and not really having to plan if, you know, how to get to the supermarket. You know, you got Google Maps, you just plug it in. You've got all this technology making everything so convenient for us, and just we don't have to plan things whenever we walk out of our front door. I think that transfers over to the festival thing where you can just buy a ticket, you know, online, right? And if you're going through the whole hassle of having to buy tickets and how hard that is, you're kind of just, all your energy is spent, and then you're just like, okay, you know, it's hard to do. Might as well just wait and try, you know, do it on just the second market if possible, right? Or just, yeah. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse, because even if they do then get the ticket by miracle, right? Because we all know with Tomorrowland how hard that is, right? If they figure it out, they're screwed from the logistical side of things, right? If they wait too long. And going back to it, where that little tangent there, a little rant there, because it does get me going too. I think people just don't like to plan things because there's a lot to consider, and I think it's quite overwhelming just considering how easy planning for other things is. So I think they just don't think about it, one, and then they just kind of go in thinking they can wing it, almost like it's going to their local store, right? They just plug something into a Google Maps, that type of mentality where it's like, oh, you know, don't really need to think about planning for it, I'll just kind of like go about and wing it. I think that mentality comes to when they do festivals too.
I think what you're saying is just so spot on, because it's also like when you hit up your friend and they're like, and you're like, hey, you want to hang out? They're like, oh, what are you doing? Who's coming? Like, where are we going? They're like, I asked if you wanted to hang out. Okay. I'm not trying to convince you to come hang out with me by telling you where we're going, who is coming. And they're like, okay, yeah, maybe I'll let you know. Right. Because you already know what they're doing on their end. They're trying to see what other plans are coming up. And it's that non-committal attitude, which I hate.
Well, and not having to make the plan themselves, right? Everyone kind of enjoys not having to do it themselves. And, you know, if it's not easily convenient to do, it's like, again, it's like in that scenario, they're just asking you, because essentially you're just outlining the plan for them. You're telling them the plan. They don't want to just walk in and not know what to do and then be forced to make some decision. They like having things done.
And like when you think like, oh, but that's six months away. Like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to think about planning something 6 months away. Well, too bad, buddy. Okay, if you want to go, that's what you have to do. Or you can sulk and you can attend Couchella and not Coachella.
Here's, I think, the thing that we haven't really hit the nail on the head with yet, Samir, is the fact that when we're talking about this, you know, you also tend to be helping other people out with the plans as well, and you're planning for a group of people. When you're doing it just for yourself and that's it, and there's no coordination going on with a friend group, right? You can very much more wing it because it's just you. But I think everyone always underestimates the amount of planning that has to go in if you're going with your squad, if you're going with your friends, with a group of people. Yeah. It requires a level of logistics that's beyond, because guess what? Other people are involved, right? And there are other things, and no one really takes that into consideration. And so if everybody in the group is flaky and not really buying their own tickets, you're just going to end up going, and you're eventually not going to maximize your time with people, because not everyone's gonna be able to go. It's kind of all over the place, and it just doesn't create the right atmosphere for the group when they're going there, right? Because everything's kind of like last minute.
Good discussion. I'm glad I got that off my chest, because it was just
me too. I didn't know it was on my chest, but clearly it was.
I can tell you got pretty heated up too, man. good stuff. All right, where are we going, man?
Oh boy, we are going into the what are we listening to section. But before that, Samir, let's tell everyone about our rating scale.
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever going to listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not going to really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it.
All right, let's dig into it. We've got Akali, new album, debut album, can't believe that, it's his debut, A World Away, we'll talk about that. And then this is just, I can't wait to talk about this man, but Calvin Harris is back with an alias, Love Regenerator, which is also partially part of the name of his new 2-track EP, Love Regenerator 1. That's him going back to the 90s acid house rave scene there. So I think a lot of people will be interesting to see what general public and audience think about it. And I know we have very similar feelings on it. But let's start off. We got to talk about this. First and foremost, A World Away, Akali's debut album. This has been much anticipated. People have been talking about it for quite a while now, ever since he announced it and teased it. And apparently he's also got an alias project coming on, just something to note as well.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, he dropped that. I'll put the link in the show notes and also send it to you. I completely forgot about that until now, but I saw there was a tweet. He tweeted it out saying that he has music as like a side project / alias coming out as well. So when we get more information, we'll update everyone on the podcast. But dude, what did you think of this album? Because I think it surprised me, certainly, in a way. It's a weird one. It surprised me, but it didn't surprise me. What surprised me about it was how he really tried to get very creative with this. And I think he was very creative with it. So what are your initial thoughts on this album? Did it kind of take you by surprise? You know, did you agree with how creative he was going?
See, that's the thing, right? Like when you think about Akali and his music, you automatically think that this guy's got the creativity to him. So that's why it didn't surprise me that he was getting creative. What did surprise me about this album is what he was trying, the new sounds that he was trying, the methods that he was trying, and the vibes that he was going for in each of these songs. I have to say, Akali really hit it out of the park with this album. I thought this was actually a wonderful album to listen to. Some of the tracks I could have done without, but you know what? No album is absolutely perfect, but a majority of this album I thought was an absolute pleasure to listen to. I'm very pumped up for Akali, dude. He's all, you know, ever since you've introduced me to Akali, dude, I've always been a big fan of his. This debut album, A World Away, it just takes it to the next level, man. It takes it to the next level, and it shows that Akali is a force to be reckoned with in EDM music, and he refuses to be pigeonholed to one single genre, and that's what I love about this guy.
I would definitely agree there, and I think what's interesting to note is he is definitely exploring more of his lighter side, and I think, you know, you could guess it might have something to do with his girlfriend, right? I mean, everyone, it's so cute when you see him on Twitter and on Instagram. Man's in love.
He is
man's
so in love. Yeah,
oh,
he,
yeah. Oh, he's head over
time,
heels.
Big
he
time.
Is. He absolutely
They look
is.
Great together.
It's great. It's great to see. Yeah, they really do. Shout out to them. Good couple there. I really appreciated creativity with this too, and it did surprise me just the amount of stuff he was trying and how he just went out there and went, you know, a lot more Illenium style on some of the songs, right? I mean, obviously he has his collab with Illenium on there too. But he went out there and really decided to explore how far and broad he could push the Akali brand, right? What could be considered under him? I mean, I was super, super pleasantly surprised when I listened to Cage with Mossy.
Yes.
I was like, it's just kind of like a house track in there with some trap. Champions, you have to go and check this one out because it's a very, very interesting track. I loved it, man. Did you?
I knew you were going to love that song as soon as I heard it.
Loved
Every
it.
Drop is awesome. The influence from Mossy. Like, I want to check out Mossy now because that is what this song is making me want to do.
I couldn't agree more, man. Another big one, I was very impressed with kind of going back to the true trap roots here with Braids. Mm-hmm. Really liked that track. Were you a fan of that?
I was a fan of Braids. Really, really big fan of that one. And also Faithless. I really like Faithless a lot as well.
I did
Fantastic
like Faithless.
Fantastic track.
Indeed.
Nice Chinese influence on there, just in time for Chinese New Year.
That's
it was awesome.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. I like that song as well. I'd say probably my other favorite was, I actually enjoyed Fairy Tale with Elohim.
Yeah, dude. You and I are pretty much well aligned on this one, dude. Fairy Tale, and I love Elohim's voice. Love, love, love her voice. I sometimes think that they tend to sound the same, but Elohim is definitely one of my favorite ones in the scene.
Definitely, man. I'm glad we're on the same page with that.
One song I was not a fan of was Runaway with Rio Cragen. I don't like this style of hip-hop. I don't like it. It's not for me. I don't know what it is, but like hearing somebody in the background of these types of hip hop songs going, yeah, it's lit. Yeah. like I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need like somebody to echo what the guy just said. It's annoying. That's my opinion on that.
Oh god. I don't particularly dislike it, so
we would not be doing our jobs as EDM champions, as the hosts of Beyond the Beats, if we didn't talk about this next release. Alec. let's go to Scotland real quick. Let's go to Scotland real quick. Who is there? Who are we talking about right now?
We are talking about Love Regenerator, or you might know him as Calvin Harris. This is his alias he's decided to go do. Yeah, man, this was something else. Love Regenerator 1, 2-track. It came out of nowhere. Didn't even know that he was doing this.
It really did.
Absolutely came out of nowhere. And just, to be honest, man, the execution was just magnificent. It was truly, truly magical. I mean, look at this already. I'm looking on the Spotify right now for Love Regenerator. It has it as a separate artist. 512,000 monthly listeners already. Just released, you know, what, 4 days ago, maybe?
It's
so big to already know that, but it just seems like people are really turning onto it, because I was shocked that he decided to go with this. I was also shocked that he decided to announce that this was his official alias, right? We'll get into some
of
that stuff. Well,
okay.
Because he's developed this very kind of radio-centric vibe to him.
Oh,
I thought he would want to
okay.
keep it a lot more separate, but he came out just straight out of the gate. It's on his regular Calvin Harris artist profile on Spotify and has its own. So he's just coming out and saying, this is me, this is my music, and just releasing it. And it's just, because it's such a change from what he's currently been doing, recently been doing, what made him famous, I was just a little bit surprised. I thought he would try to keep that separate, but I thought that was a very ballsy move of him to do, because there's a lot of people I can imagine who would like Calvin Harris but would not like this.
I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried for when he starts to play live. Like, he'll be at Creamfields this year. He's going to be at Coachella this year. I can just imagine the Coachella, you know, folks over there when they're like, oh yeah, I'm pumped up to see Calvin Harris. Oh, I can't wait to hear Promises. Calvin Harris straight up freaking comes out with CP1 swinging at your face. And we're talking about some acid house, okay? So just some shit that people are not going to be expecting when they hear the name Calvin Harris. Dude, absolutely agreed. He is taking a bold, bold move right here by saying, this is me. This is what I like. This is the kind of music I'm into. Because he really heavily departed into like this mainstream kind of sound. And I feel like, I don't know, man, maybe he just lost the passion for doing that kind of music and he wanted to try something new.
Or he just wanted to make a crap load of money.
Or that too, of course. I mean, the guy makes
I mean, what,
stupid,
he charges half a million per set?
Yeah, it's crazy.
For a festival?
He makes stupid money.
But, I mean, come on, man.
He comes out with Love Regenerator with some acid house, and a lot of people are here for it, and they're very excited to see where he takes it. I think 2020 and beyond, and especially 2021, is going to be a big year for Calvin Harris in him redefining his sound and the music that he puts out.
He wants
out.
To get back to the rave. That's what it is. That's what he is wanting to get back to. And whether, I mean, I know there's been quite a bit of just, I think people have criticized him quite publicly about this as well, or at least have just kind of poked fun at him. Right, so I think this could be reactionary to some of that, but also could be just generally he wants to get back to the rave, to, you know, the original sounds that he grew up on, that he enjoyed. And I was just, it was just really, I was so, I want to say pleasantly surprised, but I always knew how talented he was. But it's because he hasn't done much for long, you kind of forget, right? And he hasn't done anything rave-like in a while, but this was just really, really well done. I mean,
I love the passion. God,
I love
this.
CP1
awesome.
Just had me. CP1 has me every
agreed, dude.
Bloody time I listen to it. It just, that drop when it just switches, it's like the kick on that, it's just woo. God, it has me. It has me, you know. I absolutely love that, you know. And if you want to get the true experience, listen to the CP1 straight, not the edit. Listen to the straight. It's just it's an amazing, amazing, you know, track. And then Hypnagogic, I guess, hypnagogic, however you want to say that.
I don't know, dude. You tell
whatever.
Me.
I can't wait. I'll say it in, because in parentheses it's got I can't wait. There you go. We'll say it. We'll call it I can't wait. I love that track too. So this was something that surprised me, but also something that I'm very, very happy about. And I agree with you, Samir. I think it's going to be a big year for him, 2020. And I think he's going to really start to explore the, you know, Love Regenerator aspect. It'll be interesting to see if he incorporates it into his regular sets or he keeps it separate.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll have to see.
I hope he incorporates it, man. I hope he
personally
delivers
I do.
A new
I do.
Sound. Yeah, yeah. we've talked these two releases to death, and now it's time to give the Beyond the Beats official rating on them. Alec, I'm tossing it over to you, my friend. What do you think about Akali's new album, A World Away?
I'm going to give it a level 4 out of 5 just bought tickets.
Nice.
I am. I'm going to do that just because, you know, one, I would always, well, before I say, I should say I always would go see Akali anyhow. There are some tracks on this that didn't quite exactly do it for me. But for a lot of the tracks that I did enjoy, the creativity shown through, I think it was a very brave move coming out with this type of album, really exploring his different sounds, pushing his brands. And that creativity, you know, as anyone who's listened to this podcast knows, is something that's very important to me when listening to music. And I think he does a very, very good job of it. And, you know, again, while it might not completely fire on all four cylinders for me here, not every track does it for me, the majority of it really does. And just regardless, like, even if you're not the biggest fan, it's not like you dislike any of these tracks. You know, they just set a fantastic vibe, great energy, and just his attention to detail when you listen to these songs. Right, his attention to detail with the sound production, it's just, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, it's, you know, he's beautifully produced, well done to him. I think he deserves all the best with this album, so I'm really excited to see what he does with it.
Man, I love that passion, dude, and I'm right there with you. This is a level 4 out of 5 just bought tickets for me as well. I just have to agree with what you said. The creativity knows no bounds with this guy, and his sets reflect that, his music reflects that, and it's just a perfect harmonization between what he releases and what he plays out live. And I would have no issue buying tickets to go see this guy, especially as he's touring this new album, A World Away.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. So I'm glad that we agree on that. All right, last one, Love Regenerator, otherwise known as Calvin Harris, returning to the 90s acid house scene. Dude, what do you think of Love Regenerator 1? What's your rating?
All right, dude, he's regenerating my love for his music, and I'm very excited to see where he's going to go with this project. If he was touring this, I would give this a Just Bought Tickets, man. This is level 4 out of 5 Just Bought Tickets, because this is the turn of an artist who has stuck to one sound for a long time, and now he's trying something new, and he is putting his stamp on it, and he's putting out quality tracks, and that cannot be ignored. Calvin Harris, even if you don't like his most recent releases, he knows how to make music that appeals to a lot of people. And I love that he's taking a risk here. And if he was touring Love Regenerator, I would 100% go see it live. So this is a Just Bought Tickets. Alec, what'd you think?
Love it, man. It's big. It's atmospheric. I really enjoy the return to the 90s acid house scene and the fact that he's also added in a little bit of his own flavor in there, modernized it slightly, really brought out the atmospheric sound to it. Like, you can imagine if you're just in a warehouse, you just imagine it, the bass filling it up, right? Just all those air molecules shaking from that rattling bass. But I'll tell you, I'm going to give this a level 4 out of 5 as well. Just bought tickets.
Nice.
Love this, man. Absolutely loved it. And hands down, would go see him. Even if it's just a regular Calvin Harris set, I would. Just, I'd be interested to see, you know, how, if he incorporates this into his regular DJ set. So, you know, well done. Hats off to Calvin Harris for a mighty, mighty return.
Fantastic. We've just talked about some amazing music on this week's episode of the pod. Feels good to be back at it, man. 2020.
It does. It does.
You're starting off strong, dude.
Indeed. Yeah. And we're just going to get even better and even stronger with what could possibly be Samir and I's absolutely most favorite part of the show. It's the artists we're watching section. And we have two artists, phenomenal artists, I might add, as always. Just shows how deep the EDM scene can go. You can find two people every week. But if you're just joining us, this is the first time you're listening to us, just know that this is a key section, because we like to give a spotlight and a platform onto the people who we believe have a lot of talent but are deserving of more traction than they're getting. So these are people who are up and comers, got a lot of talent, and someone, or people rather, you should put on your radar. Who wants to take it off this week?
Alec, you got somebody so interesting. I want to hear you talk about this person.
All right.
Alec, take it away, man. Who you got here?
I tell you, it's getting a little spooky in here. You can hear the sounds, the deep bass kicking in right now. I'm talking about Ghost Dance. That's exactly right. Thank you for the add-on there, Samir. It was perfect. Really adds to the vibe. But I tell you, we've got Ghost Dance here. It's a mousetrap prodigy. I'm just going to let all of you listen to this before I dig into it. There's a lot to dig into here. Enjoy the sounds of Ghost Dance. This is his track, Release the Pressure, released on Mousetrap, Dead Mouse's label.
Oh my god, I got shivers, chills down my spine when I heard this track, man. Intense. It is intense. And just shout out to this guy, first of all, for such a small following, getting recognized by deadmau5, getting a release on the label, and this track, Release the Pressure, is very, very well deserving of that. Alec, what is this? What genre is this? What are we listening to right now?
I mean, what we're listening to here is definitely techno, but also has an electro focus on it. And he has said when he released this track, and you see it on the SoundCloud link, he talks about a bit in the description of it, which I think is really cool, by the way. He goes into a little bit of his inspiration behind it. But he talks about how this is probably more of the electro of his sound, right? So he adds that in there. But it's just such an interesting combination between techno and electro. Would you say that's a fair categorization here?
Totally, dude. Totally. Yeah. Completely agree with that.
Definitely. I mean, he's just absolutely knocked out of the park with this one. He's just getting traction so quickly. But he is a Mousetrap prodigy. I mean, you could just see... I wouldn't be surprised if deadmau5 didn't just handpick him here. I mean, you know, he's part of just the upcoming squad that's going to be huge in the Mousetrap scene. And we're talking about other people like Atlas, Gala, and Rinzen. That's another... These are some other prodigies there. And Io, of course. You can't forget Io. But I think after Io, Ghost Dance is just has one of the biggest talents there, and just such amazing promise with this interesting take on combining both techno with, you know, some of the harsher bass of electro in there as well. So
right,
really
on,
big. Please put them on your radar. You can find the links to his socials in the SoundCloud and Spotify as well. Actually, I'll put the Spotify there because he's growing on Spotify too. You can find that all in the show notes. But Samir, I was really excited to show you this one because I think this is the first techno-centric track I've picked.
I think so, dude. Yeah. Oh, man. That is very, very true. Thank you for bringing some techno to 2020, baby.
Of course,
I love
man.
It.
Got to kick it off strong.
All right, man. We were just talking about Ghost Dance, but now I'm going to bring you over to San Diego, California once again, okay? You know what? Can't wait to talk about this guy. We got Drew Dapps, okay? And let me tell you, first of all, how I discovered Drew Dapps and why I think you guys should be following us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. We post up a lot asking people to suggest artists that they think, you know, should be spotlighted on the show. And we love when friends kind of support each other and tag their artist friends who are producing some fire music and trying to help them get to a bigger audience. And luckily somebody tagged Drew Dapps for us, and I am so pumped up on this track right here, okay? First of all, this guy started off by producing some rap and hip hop. Then he realized that his true passion lies in house music. So for the past year and a half, he's just been grinding and putting out some fantastic house tunes and developing his sound. And I want you guys to listen to this song, Everybody Freakin', okay? Here you can hear it building up in the background, but just get ready to just get groovy and move to the beats of Drew Dapps. Here it is. This is his song, Everybody Freakin'.
My man, wow. I love the groove in this track. This is awesome, and thanks again, you know, for people who have engaged on our social media on our Instagram when we posted up asking for recommendations. It's just one of the solid recommendations we found, and I know that we've got some more people we'll be talking about later on. So thank you for putting Drew Dapps on our radar. But man, this track, just what a great selection. I took a look into some of the other things, and I tell you, I think this is a great thing to be talking about because this seems to be the epitome of his style and of his sound.
And what I love about him is that you can't really pigeonhole him into like deep house, minimal, or tech. He likes it all. He calls his music deep, minimal, and tech influence. Not necessarily like this is tech house or this is minimal. One thing I can just imagine as I'm listening to this song is me like at a lounge in New York City, rooftop lounge, mimosa in hand, and this track just freaking bumping over the sound system, dude. Me getting up, dancing, having a good time with some friends. That's what this song does. It's very loungy, but it's still a little bit energetic where it just makes you want to move. And that's what I love about this track and his releases as well. Also, the album art to this track is absolute fire. And this guy has a big 2020 coming up. We were talking a little bit. He's told me he's got 2 EPs scheduled to come out this year and more releases beyond that. And he's also going to be playing a festival in March, but he didn't go into too many details beyond that. So very excited to see. Yeah, very excited to see where he goes this. It's going to be a huge year for Drew Dapps, and he deserves all the success in the world. Very nice person. If you guys want to connect with him, check the show notes. You're going to find all the links to socials, SoundCloud, and this track right there. And you know what? Give us a follow as well. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear the music that you guys are listening to as well.
Love it, man. Love the energy on that. And shout out to Drew Dapps for you. You got a big year coming up. We, Beyond the Beats, cannot wait to see what you do with it this year. But
we're watching you, Drew.
We are, and everyone else will be too. Man, what a great episode. I feel like we got into a lot of
solid
stuff. I feel good, man. It's great to be back in the swing of things. You know, Samir and I were talking about it before, but we just really, really enjoy coming out and just recording and putting all, you know, the energy that we can into this. We love the feedback that we're getting. So, you know, please, if you have other feedback, let us know. You can DM us on Instagram. We'll try to get around to you as soon as possible. You know, you can also contact us. It's connect@beyondthebeats.co. That's .co. And you can find us on Instagram. It's @btb.pod. And Twitter is @podbtb. But man, that's all I have for me for this week. Just great. Great talking with you again, man. This is just, it's awesome.
Missed you, buddy.
I know, I missed you too. We took a time off. It was definitely needed, but you know, we've got so much coming in the pipeline this year for everybody. So I can't wait for us to divulge more on that stuff later on.
Hey guys, don't forget to drop a review in the app store. A review in the podcasting app that you guys use, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn, any of them. Hit subscribe. All that stuff helps us reach a wider audience, and we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Let us know what your rave plans are as well. If you're going to Tomorrowland, EDC, EZU, we want to know. Hit us up. Let us know what you guys are up to. We would love to link up with you. But until then, we will see you next week for a very special episode, episode 45. We got some special guests coming on. So see you guys next week, all right? But until then, peace.